This is Bullock. We're going to try.
There's two other people that are coming now.
We'll try an experiment. I'm going to look at a sefer called the Shalmei Nachum, and I'll tell you the author of the sefer, who's a contemporary. He lives in Har Nof. His name is Rav Nachum Borovsky. And that's his name. And his specialty is the Ramban al Torah. But what he does is he sews together many different comments of the Ramban. And he also has comments of the Ramban that are not in the commentary of the Ramban, but in other writings of the Ramban, and he tries to put it all together into one package. So a lot of what we're going to be focusing on is the connection between the Nevuah, the prophecy of Bilam, and the future, the end of days, the times of Mashiach, and also the unique nature and love for Klal Yisrael. So we're going to start with the Nevuah of Bilam, which is incorporated here at the end of the Nevuah. This is you know, the various Nevuahs of Bilam, and this is the last of the Nevuah. This is even beyond the three times that he blessed him. So I'm going to read to you the Pasuk, and then we'll look at the Ramban. It says, V'ata, Hineni holech li'ami. Balak is taking leave from Bilam, and Bilam is saying, I'm going to go back to my people. Lecha i'atzcha, which literally means I'm going to inform you. Asher yaseh ha'am hazeh, what's going to happen to these people, the people of Israel? Bi'achris hayom, at the end of days. And the Ramban is going to try to analyze what is this reference to the end of days. And he says the following, Vanavua hazos li'yemos ha'mashiachu. This prophecy relates to the Yemos HaMashiach, at the end of days. Again, he's arguing with other commentaries like the Ibn Ezra and others who say that this is an allusion to the time of Malchus Beis David, but we're talking about the Ramban. The Ramban says that this is a reference to Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic period. Okay, well, and he says the following, each of Bilam's prophecies are built on the previous prophecies. And we're speaking, the Ramban says, ba'asidos, meaning of the distant future. Mitchila Omar, at first, this is back in Perikov Gimel, we're now studying Perikov Dalet, but a chapter ago, Bilam had said, Shehim chelek Hashem v'nachlaso, that the people of Israel were God's portion, which means they're His inheritance. Ubishenis, in the second prophecy, which is later in the same chapter, Hosif, he adds, Kavsham ha'aretz, that Israel will conquer the land. V'hargam melachel, and he will kill, and they, the people of Israel, will kill their kings, the kings that occupy the land. What we call the Palestinians. Not the Palestinians of today. The Palestinians today have nothing to do with those who lived in the land of Israel, so don't make that confusion. Ubishlishis, and in the third prophecy, which is already in this chapter, chapter Chavdalid, Ra'a Shivtam Ba'aretz, he saw that they were already dwelling in the land, Uparu V'Ravu Ala Aretz, and he's already prophesied about the fact that the Israelites are fruitful, they multiply upon the earth. And at this point, Vehemidom Melech, and they appointed a king, Yenatzeach Es Agog, who would vanquish Amalek. So already we're past the third prophecy. The first prophecy describes the lovely relationship between God and His people. The second prophecy is about the conquest of the land, the killing of the kings. And the third prophecy is about dwelling in the land, and there they are fruitful and they multiply. Now we're ready for the fourth prophecy of Bilam. Vehemidom Melech, okay, after the king will vanquish Amalek, he tinase od amalchus sherod David misnase lamala, that the kingdom would be further raised up. He saw, again, when you say he, I'm referring to Bilam, he saw David becoming exceedingly upraised. That's called in Hebrew mitnase. Mitnase is to be uplifted, lemala, on a high level. Ukemoshe nemar, and here the Ramban refers us to a pasuk in Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel. Vayeda David, David realized ki hechino Hashem lemelech, that God had chosen him and established him as the king of Israel. Vechi nisei mamlachto, and that he had raised up, God had raised up the kingdom of David, bavur amo Yisrael, for the sake of his people Israel. Klomar, says Rabbah, what does this mean? Yisrael, for the sake of the people of Israel, asher hivticham, about whom he had promised them, shetinasei malchusam, that their kingship will be raised up. So notice, Bilam's prophecies refer to later periods of time, progressively. You know, he's going through Jewish history. The fourth prophecy refers to the time of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was already mentioned in the third prophecy. Now in the fourth prophecy, David's kingship is uplifted, is upraised. The Ata, now we're ready for the end of the fourth prophecy, B'nevuah Zos, in this prophecy, which is right here in these verses, Yosef Lirot Inyon HaMashiach. Now Bilam goes further into the future and he prophesies about the Mashiach. Vilakach, and therefore, Hirchika Inyon Ma'od, right, he places the matter really in the far distant future. So we're really speeding forth on the time clock because we're going from David HaMelech to the period of Mashiach. Mi'od, right? It's very much distant in the future. The Almighty declares, Erenu, I shall see him. Meaning, I shall see the Mashiach. V'lo ato, but not now. Ashurenu, I will get a look at him. V'lo karov, but it's not near, meaning it's going to happen in the distant future. Now keep in mind that the Ibn Ezra is a little bit different than the Ramban here. I just want to point out. He has a footnote here. I'm reading the Ramban of the Art Scroll, and he says that 400 years in the future, during David's time, that's the Ibn Ezra. But the Ramban holds that doesn't justify what it says over here, velo ata velo karov. It's got to be later, beyond the 400 years. So therefore the Ramban is going to tell us that these expressions of the prophecy of Bilam are referring to way down in the distant future at the time of Mashiach. Mashalo Omar kein b'chol anevuas harishonos. When he was prophesizing the first three rounds, Bilam never used the term velo ata, not now, or velo karov, and it's not coming in the near future. But rather here he used those terms. Bazu, in this last of his prophecies, Atzas Hashem Asher Ya'atz Lios Bi'achris HaYomim, he refers to the plan of Hashem that he devised that will come to fruition at the end of days. So again, the Ramban puts this entire last final prophecy into a perspective of Yemos HaMashiach. Now we're going to look at another Ramban, which you'll see on your page. All the Rambans, by the way, are indented, so you could follow my reading of the text in the indent. And this Ramban is back in Perek Chof Gimel. And the Ramban says the following. Let's read just the Pasuk first. Bilam says, in that Pasuk, I'll read it to you, Vayakar Hashem is Bilam, and Hashem visited Bilam, and the pasuk tells us that Bilam says, "Mimona afar Yaakov," right? Who can count the dust of Jacob? Ubagoyim lo yischashav. Tomos nafshi mos yishav. Again, these are all glorious praises for the people of Israel. And the Ramban writes the following: "Vehine," you'll see this. Klal nivuasa, the overall nivua, the prophecy of Bilam. Bipama Zos, in this prophecy, She'ein Hashem chafetz bekilulason. God doesn't want the people of Israel to be cursed, but rather v'chi anachnu am levadad chilek Hashem amo. We are the nation that dwells in solitude, and God's portion and His people. Lo nis'arev b'goyim, we will not mingle with other nations. V'lo nechashev b'hem, will we not be counted amongst them. We are a separate people, independent unto ourselves. V'achriseinu, and our end, tova, is good, b'derech yashar, on the upright path. So already in this prophecy, Bilam is hinting at the end of days, achriseinu, which is eternity, which is good, which is the upright path. This is God's portion. This is God's people. So that's what we have in the Ramban. Now there's another work by the Ramban, and we owe a debt of gratitude to the Shalmei Nochem for pointing out this other work, called the Sefer HaGeula. And these are republished in a two-volume work called Kisvei HaRamban, the Writings of the Ramban. And there, the Ramban summarizes these nevuos, the prophecies of Bilam, and he writes, Vesham arba nevuos. There are four different prophecies. So Rishona, the first, Piresh, She'ein Ratzon Elokim L'Kalos, that God has no desire to curse the Jewish people. The second is, Ki anachnu chelek Elokim, we are His portion. What does it mean, says the Ramban, when God says that the people of Israel are His portion? So please, if you can, underline the next sentence. This is critical. Lo tachas memshelas kochav o mazal. Does anybody know what he's referring to when he says that we are not controlled by any star or any of the mazalot?
We're not controlled by any other force other
than Hashem. In one word, right? It starts with a Z, ends with a C. The zodiac. He's referring now to the zodiac. The zodiac, from the Ramban's philosophy, represents the natural order of the universe, the rules and laws of nature. Lo tachas, but the Jewish people are chelek Elokim. We are separate from the goyim because the goyim are totally controlled by the stars and the zodiac, the mazalot, what's called. But we are above the zodiac. And the Ramban means that when Bilam prophesizes Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, that we dwell in solitude, and Am Hashem Nachlaso, that we are the inheritance of God, we are His people, it means that God takes direct control and supervision over the people of Israel, Levado, in a singular way, without any control over nature. All the other nations are distant from Hashem. They don't have that close relationship. They are not called His portion. But His portion means that the people of Israel are not under the control of any of the angels or the stars or the representatives of the celestial spheres. Now you should turn to page Tav Samach. Right? He has the page numbers either on the top right or on the top left in the Hebrew letters. Yeah, again, you're just flipping the page to the other side. I hope it came out. Again, we've had some real major fashload failures with the photocopying, so hopefully in this case I was successful. And he says the following. The second prophecy of the four prophecies of Bilam refers to conquering the land. And Bilam, in his prophecy, says that it's impossible to curse the Jewish people through all these sorceries and all these times of divinations and so forth, to use the powers of evil and contamination to curse the Jewish people. And the Ramban embellishes this by saying, Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. Okay, so let me open up the translation here. This is Perek Chaf Gimel. And what pasuk is the Chaf Aleph? Am I correct? It says the following: Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. This is the third prophecy of Bilam. God does not observe any falsehood in Jacob, velo ra amel be Israel, and he saw no vexation. Vexation is a reference to something negative in Israel. But rather, Hashem Elokav Imo, God is with him, meaning the people of Israel, Utruas Melech Bo, and the shout of the king is with him. So let's see if we can get a clue as to what this means according to the Rabban. Vanochon bi'enai. How many people have the place for those who like to follow the text? Doc, you don't. You should be on a page that says Tav Sama. And again, the quotes from the Rabban are always indented, so you'll see the second indentation. Vanochon bi'enai. You have that? After the Rabban presents Rashi's interpretations of Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, there's no sign reading in Jacob. The Ramban says the most sound interpretation, Anochon B'Yenai, Ki Bavur Heyoso Kosev, because since Bilam was a Kosev, again, it's hard to translate that word, he was a sorcerer, he was a diviner, if you're familiar with those words. Ubalak Sholach Elov, and Balak sent word to him, Ki Adati Eis Asher Tevarech, I know that whoever you bless, meaning Bikos Mecha, with your divinations, your charms, is Mevorach, will be blessed. Vasher Ta'ar, and those that you curse, is you are. You are means they will be cursed. Vishalach Lok Samim, which means that he sent these charms to him, divinest charms, whatever these utensils are, to help Bilam perform his task of cursing Israel. So, you know, Bilam is well stocked, he's well provided. Al-Kain Amarlo, and therefore Bilam responded to Balak, Ein Nachash B'Yakov. You know, there are other nations, and you can curse them, you can use divinations and sorcery, there's sign reading, but when it comes to Yaakov, the people of Israel, Ein Nachash, right? And what it means is that there's no sign reading, Lahara Olehetiv, whether it be to do bad or to do good to them. Now it's basically Israel is above and not affected by all these kinds of sorcery and divinations. So very nice that you're appointing me to go ahead and do this, but it's not going to have any impact. That's a futile enterprise. V'lo kesem b'Yisrael, there's no divination in Israel, lahazik ol moil, either to harm them or to help them. Ki b'chol eis, for at all times, ye omer, it is said regarding Yaakov Avinu and Yisrael, ma'pol ke'el b'chem. What has God wrought amongst you? What does that mean, ma'pol ke'el b'chem? Ki mipi elyon, from the mouth of the Most High, meaning God, teitze lahem hara'os v'tavos. The evil or the good will emanate to Israel directly from the mouth of the Most High. Lomar, what this means, ki chelek Hashem amo, and this is what Bilam meant when he said God's portion is the people of Israel. Einam b'memshel asarim, they are not under the authority of the ministers, kochavim, or the stars, hashamayim in the heavens, uksileim, or all the constellations, Shiyazik lahem, that could harm them through Kesem and Nachash Kegoyim. So again, all the other nations are under the authority of the stars, and therefore a person can harm them by divination and sign reading. But that's not the case with regard to Israel, because Israel is Chelek Hashem Amo. It's God's portion. V'zek Hasher Omar Moshe. And this is what Moshe means when he says, "Asher cholak Hashem Elokecha osam lechola amim." Moshe said that Hashem, your God, has apportioned all the peoples under the entire heaven. Veschem, but you, lakach Hashem lios lolam lenachla. But you, God, takes as the nation of His heritage for Him, and that means that the people of Israel are not controlled by the authority of the ministers up in the celestial beings. So we are a unique people. God takes us for Himself. And therefore, in the Nevuah of Bilam, it's impossible to curse the people of Israel through Kesem or Nachash, all these charms and divinations and sorcery, because they don't come under the control of the various messengers and representatives of the stars up in heaven. But rather, Hashem Elokav Imo, God takes the people of Israel as His people, with a direct relationship, not through any powers, any natural forces, any intermediaries. And therefore the Ramban says that in the third Nevuah, and from the third Nevuah and on of Bilam, Balak is not going to go with Bilam. He's not going to accompany him. So for the first three Nevuahs, Balak accompanies Bilam because he's hoping that Bilam would use these powers, these charms and divinations to curse the people of Israel. But once Bilam in the third prophecy had made it absolutely crystal clear that we have no impact on the people through divinations, then Balak drops out. He realizes that all the attempts and all the efforts that he made, you remember the karbanos that he brought, the sacrifices, all this is not going to have any impact. Because now it becomes crystal clear that all the kesem and all the nachash, all these methodologies of sorcery and magic will be absolutely meaningless when it comes to the people of Israel. So we're going to look now at another Ramban, which you'll see on the bottom of the page. And this Ramban appears at the very beginning of chapter 23. So let's read the Psukim. It's always good to read the Psukim verses before we see the Ramban. It says the following, Vayomer Bilam el Balak, B'nei li bazesh shiva mizbechos. So Bilam instructs Balak to build seven altars, v'achei li bazesh, and prepare for me shiva parim, seven bulls, v'shiva elim, and seven rams. And then it says, v'yas Balak asher diber Bilam, v'yal Balak, Vayar, what does it say? Vayal, Balak, Ubilam, Par, V'ayil, Bamizbeach. So at this point, through this entire process, which is very early in the stage, Balak is going to, encourage the following policy, that we can curse the Jewish people if we build these altars and we bring these sacrifices on the altars. So the Ramban explains, what is the purpose of these altars, seven in number? So you'll see it says, Vehine Bilam. This is on the bottom, the last quote of the Ramban on your page here, the page that we're looking at now. He says, Vehine Bilam Ratzo Ledovka Elav HaRatzo Meis Hashem HaKarbonis HaElav. Bilam wanted to somehow cause God's will to cleave to him. This is Bilam's project. He wants to somehow link up with the will of God by bringing these offerings. V'lachein hela olos mispar kulam. He brings burnt offerings, which is called the carbon ola, and the number of them corresponds to the number seven. There are going to be seven burnt offerings, seven olos. And Ratzah is Asek Balak Atzmo Bahen. He wanted to get Balak personally involved to participate in these sacrifices. So there'll be a connection between Balak and God, not just a connection between Bilam and God, but also Balak and God. V'lachein Amar, therefore he turns to Balak and he influences him until Vayal Balak Ubilam Par the Isle. Balak and Bilam brought a bull and a ram on the altar. And both Bilam and Balak are involved in bringing this sacrifice. How do you have two people involved in the bringing of a sacrifice? Zeh shochet, v'zeh zorek. One of them would slaughter the animal, the other would sprinkle the blood onto the mizbeach. Now, the Ramban wants to know, what is the meaning of Vayomer Elav Eshivas Hamizbechos Arachti? This is in Pasuk, the verse 4. We were studying the first verse in the chapter. And it says, and he said to him, I have prepared the seven altars. In other words, at this point, Bilam is speaking, he's addressing Almighty God, and he's saying, look, I built and I prepared seven altars. Derech tefillah. This is a kind of a prayer. Ke'omer, as if to say, Arachti lefanecha mizbeach shalem. I prepared before you a complete altar. What does it mean, a complete altar? It means I have seven in number, and that's the complete number. The karban shalem, a perfect karban, ya'alu al ratzon mizbecha. They should be received favorably, these sacrifices, on your altar. Ke'inyan shiyomar ha-kasuv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, and it's like the idea that the pasuk in Tehillim says, v'yizkar, kol min chasecha ve'olascha yedash nesela. May you remember all of your offerings, may your burnt offerings be accepted before him forever. Vayomer, okay, this is another pasuk in Tehillim, it says, olos mechim alelach im k'toris elim esa boker. Okay, so I don't know if you have this all in your text, but it means that burnt offerings of fat animals will I offer up to you, and with the smoke of the rams I will prepare cattle with goats forever. V'chein b'mekom masrabim, and so too in many places. Okay. So the Ramban is telling us that Bilam has a whole project here, a whole program with all these mizbechos, you know, seven altars, and all the korbanos that he's going to bring on these seven altars. And this is going to link up Bilam with the Ratzon, with the will of God, in a very tight relationship. And then it says, V'tama yidia. Okay, this has to do with grammar, but he says the reason for a definite article in the word ha mizbechos, right? That's hey means a definite mizbeach, is that's already been mentioned by the Ibn Ezra. Okay, so Ibn Ezra is going to say that this is a very special special series of altars. V'hine basof, at the end, kasha lo ratzel aleches l'kras nechoshim, when Bilam did not want to go towards sign reading, lo ratzel Bilam shiye balak male b'karbonosav. Bilam did not want Balak to participate in his karbonos. Why? Shlo yefagel b'machshavto. It's amazing. He's saying that if Balak would be involved in bringing the karbonos, he might come to something called pigul, which is the improper thoughts. Let's say you have thoughts that it's not for the sake of God, or it's not going to be eaten within a certain time period, whatever it is. Balak is going to mess things up. And therefore, l'kach omra kosav ayal par v'ayal b'mizbeach. According to the pasuk, which is here in pasuk Lamed, he offered a bull and a ram on the altar. He is in the singular. Yirmoz, this is an allusion to the fact that Lebilam Anizkar, that it was only Bilam, he alone, who is mentioned in the previous verse, he brought the karbon. So it's very interesting, because initially we had Balak and Bilam working in tandem, Zeh Shochet v'Zeh Zorek, but at some point, Basof, we don't know exactly at the end, Bilam doesn't want, but at the very end would mean after the fourth prophecy, because at that point already Bilam had revealed the fact that the people of Israel are not controlled by any other power, any intermediary power, any of the Kochov and the Mazolos. And it's Chelek Hashem Amo, so there's no sign reading and there's no sorcery. At this point, let's get Balak out of the picture, because if we're going to bring these karbanos on the Mizbeach in order to connect to the will of God, then Balak might have other thoughts, improper thoughts in his mind. He's going to be mafagel the karbon. For those who learn Tzvachim, you'll know what that means, to be mafagel the karbon. Now if you could turn to the next page, which is Tuf Samach Aleph, the Shalmei Nachum, in the first two paragraphs on the page, gives an overview of everything that we've said until now. Meaning, the first nevuah, the first prophecy of Bilam, was to the effect that that God doesn't want to curse the people of Israel. He wants to bless the people of Israel. In the second prophecy, he tells Balak that it's impossible to use Kesem and Nachash, these various sorcery methods, to curse the Jewish people for the same reason. And that is that the Jewish people are not cursed, they are blessed. Blessed means there's a special unique relationship and a close intimacy between Almighty God and the people of Israel. And that's expressed in the second Nevuah of Bilam, Hein Am Levadon Yishkan, which means that they are no longer in control of the stars and the zodiac and all the forces of nature, but rather Hashem Elokov Imo. They are the people of God. But now we have to understand that there are two prophecies here that are really one and the same. They're really two halves of a whole. Why? Because Klal Yisrael are not under the influence or the authority of any of these celestial messengers or representatives. And you begin to wonder, he says, the first Nevuah, in the first prophecy, it says, Am Levadon Yishkon, meaning they're alone, which means they are separated from all the other nations who are controlled by the stars. But in the second prophecy, above and beyond this description of the people of Israel as Levadon Yishkon, it says Utruas Melech Bo, and it mentions Kael Motziyam Mitzrayim, that God has taken them out of Israel. I'm sorry, out of Mitzrayim. Sorry. So the Ramban explains that what is the lesson? What do we learn from Yitzias Mitzrayim, God taking the people out of Egypt? It proves the greatness of God. Says Ramban, V'omer atam, ki Hashem Elokav imo, that we are the people, the portion of God, asher lo yechazev v'lo yinachem, that there's no way of violating the truth of Israel, utruas melech gibar bo, shelo yinutzach liolam, there's never a way that we can vanquish the people of Israel, they have eternity. When he took us out of Mitzrayim, hine lo tokef gadol. There was a tremendous power in taking, redeeming the people from Israel. Kitofot be'em al kol be'ema, on the most powerful animal that sends vibes of fear and awe through the entire kingdom of the animals, the animal kingdom. V'echlo yiskaynu kol berchoseim. How do you think, Bilam, that all the blessings that God bestowed upon you will not be fulfilled when Ein Bahem Nachash V'Kosem, that they are above the influences of any divinations or sorcery? So our question is that already in the first prophecy, Bilam has established that we, the people of Israel, are not in the control of any other authority. We're directly connected to God. So why did he need the second prophecy, which introduces Mitzrayim and the power and the incredible power of God taking the people of Israel out of Egypt, that doesn't seem to add anything to the original prophecy that the people of Israel are separate from the nations of the world insofar as they're not under the control of any other force. So the Shalmei Nochem at this point wants to quote another Ramban that's not in his commentary on the Torah, but rather in one of his tshuvas. The Ramban wrote responsa, and one of the responsa of the Ramban, which is number Reish Pei Gimel, addresses the issue of divinations and palm readings and sign readings and all the like. That's called Nachash V'Kosem. And in the context of discussing all these powers and these sorceries and the zodiac and all that, he says, how should a person of Israel relate to these ideas about the astrologers, right? That's the word I want to use. He says, Nami Mashma, it would seem that Muto Lishmolehem, that if we want to listen to all these, what do they call them, horoscopes? Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. These people who claim that they'll tell you based on this, the movement of the stars what's going to happen tomorrow. You're allowed to listen to them. Ulahamin bidivrein, and you can even believe in what they say. So I don't know if anyone here likes to read this stuff. You know, there's certain magazines where they publish, you know, for each month, you know, what's gonna, you know, the horoscope. So if you like to read that stuff. So the Ramban is very lenient about this. Other Rishonim say it's prohibited. May Avram, let's learn it from Avram. I mean, who would be a better source for our halachic decision than Avram? And Avram declares, "Nistakalti b'atzagninus." I looked at my astrological fortune or foretelling. Well, let's learn from Rabbi Akiva. Davidoy gamilsa debarte tuva. He was very worried about his daughter, Uliakash Anitzla, and after she was spared, she was saved. Darash Mishum Tztaka. In other words, he drew the conclusion that there's a certain inherent power in Tztaka and charity, and therefore Nitzla Mimisa, and even though she was deathly ill, she was spared. Mamish. Shmamina. Says the Rambam, what do you see from the fact that Rabbi Akiva was convinced that his daughter was saved because of tzedakah, because of the power inherent in charity? Mamin hayibahem. He believed in these sources. So we have Avram Avinu, who's going out to his astrological constellations and calculations, and he believes in the zodiac. And we also have the case of Rabbi Akiva. Now we have a third case, Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak in the Gemara in Shabbos. Ella, Shepa'oma Kadosh Baruch Hu Osa Nes Li'Reov, Levatel Mehem Gzeras HaKochavim. He says that there are many situations in which God does a miracle for those who fear Him, not the righteous, and He completely nulls and voids the decrees that are up in the stars. We are not aware of these miracles. We don't see them. We don't know what was written in the stars, meaning what was predictable, and how Hashem changed that, and He spared us from the fulfillment of that very negative gzeres kochavim. So that's called a nes nistar. What is a nes nistar? You might want to underline that. Nisim nistarim. Excellent, a hidden miracle. So it's behind the scenes. We don't really know what's up there in Shemayim and how God intervenes in order to save us, to be mevatel gzeres kochavim. And the entire Torah really depends upon these nisim nistarim, because when God promises to protect us, and if we're righteous, He promises us rewards, it's all based on the fact that God is sparing us from some sort of gzera decree. And this is all nistar. It's all hidden from view.
So when we say that the Jews are the malamiyad mazalot,
right?
So it's an ongoing thing that we actually all under them, that God's doing all the time miracles, keeping
excellent,
us away.
Excellent point. That's going to be one of the main points of this essay. I'm hoping we'll get to it very soon. The doc is right. From the fact that we call this nisim nistarim, it means that there are gzeros. And you could read it in the local astrological horoscope newspaper, and Hashem intervenes behind the scenes, and we're not even aware of it, and he spares us. He says that ain't shol, and we should not actively seek out the astrologers. Why? I mean, after all, if the astrologers are correct and they're predicting what's going to happen, why not? You know, why not get a little bit of a glimpse, a prophetic view of what's around the corner? You know, we're very curious. We want to know what's going to happen to us. And that's especially true on birthdays, right? Tonight I have a birthday. So you know, when you get to a birthday, you know, you think, wow, you know, you reach a certain age. What's happening tomorrow, you know?
Your birthday tonight?
Tonight is my birthday. According to the Hebrew calendar. Right. So I, you know, if you have any horoscopes, please send it to me by email, right? But the Ramban says, no, ain't sholem them. It's not worth your time. Why? Because the Torah commands us in a mitzvah, which is called Tavim Tiyem Hashem Alkecha. Just go with God in Tmimus. Tmimus means accept the will of God. Don't try to go beyond and try to look into it and figure out what God has in store for you. You just do what you have to do. You know, God gave you 613 mitzvahs, and you can be very naive about, you know, all sorts of predictions about the future. V'imrava hen davish alo kirtzono osa mitzvos umarva mitfila. If, let's say, he happens to be appraised of what's going to happen in the future through some divination or some astrological prediction, then you know what he should do? Dedicate himself and, you know, raise the ante and intensify his loyalty to the dedication to the mitzvahs, and he should increase his prayers. But however, there's one case where you should absolutely get very serious about what you see in the horoscope. If they tell you this is not a good time to go to work and make a profit, is nishmar mimenu. You should be very careful about that. Like, for example, let's say you want to take a cruise, what would you call it, a business trip, right? A boat that's going to embark from a certain port. And you look at the horoscope, and then something terrible is going to happen to this ship. It's going to be shipwrecked, Kasher, right? So nishma miyen, he should be very careful, because again, that astrological prediction is really telling us about the natural order of the universe. That based on, you know, what's going to happen with the tides and the waves and the storms out at sea, this ship is not going to make it. So you should be very careful about that, because naturally what's going to happen is, so you're going to go out there, you're going to say, well, I'm going to daven, I'm going to do mitzvahs, I'm going to promise Hashem that I'll give $1,000 to the tzedakah, you know, to the LC, Rabbi Myers would say, right? So he says, "Eino somech al hanes," you should not rely on miracles. Because, you know, the Ramban is a believer in the Zodiac. You know, he believes, "Kasavra nisha also lovo keneged mazolos al hanes." You can never fight against the mazolos based on miracles. Again, if you hear about a very negative foretelling, then you have to do whatever you can to spare yourself and get extra dedicated to your tefillos. So again, the Shalmei Nochem gives us an overview here at the bottom of the page. And he says, when you see clearly from the Ramban, is that even though we have a principle called Ein Mazal B'Yisrael, you should underline that, that there's no such thing as mazolos, you know, the zodiac doesn't impact on Israel. Ein kavana, don't misunderstand that and say, Eino mushpoim klal, we're not influenced by the mazolos. For sure, the mazolos have an influence on the people of Israel. And if we know for sure, based on the mazolos, that there's an impending disaster, then we have to be very careful about it. We cannot rely on miracles. But when the Torah says, Tamim di Hashem al kecha, the Torah is commanding us that we shouldn't go and ask, you know, and confer with all these, crystal ball seers, you know, palm readers. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to countries where, I was on a trip to a country where every other block there was another palm reader, you know, they charge you, I don't know what. He says, Tamim di Hashem al kecha, don't go have your palm read or any of that stuff. El Yelech Hashem b'tmimus, go with God in tmimus. Now he quotes on page Tav Samach Beis, which I think would be your fourth page of the six pages I gave you. Am I right? He has another Ramban, and this Ramban is in Sefer Dvarim on the pasuk Tamim Tia. And the Ramban says, "What's the meaning of Tamim Tia? Go with God in fullness." It means we should believe only in God, and we should believe that God does everything, He knows everything, He knows all the truth, and therefore, when we want to find out what's going to happen in the future, we should turn to God Himself, not to any other power. Now, how can you turn to God and know what God has in store? We have to go to His prophets, Nevi'ov. Or, if we don't have his, you know, access to prophets, then the Anshi Chassid of Ritzoni Loma Urim V'Tumim. These are the Kohen Gadol were the Urim V'Tumim, and he would be able to tell you, if need be, what God has in store. But Lo Nidrosh Mehovrei Shamayim, we shouldn't go to these sorcerers who can tell you what goes on in the heavens, or any of that stuff. V'lo Nivtach She'yavo Divreim Al Kol Ponim. We shouldn't assume that whatever they divinate, they divine, you know, whatever they predict, is going to definitely happen. Aval im nishma dover mehem. If we hear something that from them, and it sort of puts fear into our hearts, no more we should say, akol bidei shamayim, that ultimately God will control. He is the God of gods. He is the Elyon. He's the lofty, highest, supreme God, Allah Kol. And he can do everything. And therefore, Mishana, oh, you should underline that word, Mishana, Marocho, Sakochov, Mamazol, Skirtson. He has the willpower and the authority and the omnipotence such that he can change the circulation, what's called the revolving of the stars around, and therefore he can undermine any of the astrological predictions. And therefore, Namin, we should believe Shekol Abos, anything that happens to us, Tiyenu Kefiyas Kariv Adam Lavadoso, it's all a reflection of how close we get to God. So if that be the case, on the one hand, as the doc said before, you know, there are these powers of the stars, which is the natural order of the universe, but on the other hand, we have to believe in God, that ultimately everything is Bidei Shemayim. God is above the stars. He controls all the constellations and all the astrological powers in earth. And therefore he says, Lo Pirish HaRamban Shal Yisrael Ein Shaychus Klal L'Kochova. The Ramban never makes a statement that we are outside of these influences and predictions, but rather that whenever we hear something that's being predicted based on the Zodiac readers, then we should realize that that's not the final word. We shouldn't believe that that's going to definitely happen with their predictions, because HaKol Bidei Shemayim. And that's the faith that man has to be endowed with, that he understands that everything depends upon Kefiyas Kariv Adam Lavadoso. Everything that's going to happen to us is commensurate or corresponds to the level of closeness that we reach with regard or through our service to Hashem. The closer we are to Hashem, to our Creator, then the more Hashem will intervene and change nature on our behalf. And if this be the case, then we can shed a light on the Rashba. So this will be the last thing that we'll try to finish up, is this Rashba here, which takes us all the way to page Tav Samach Gimel, which I think is your fourth page. Am I correct? And we'll have to finish this up at another time if we get a chance. The Rashba, as you know, was a younger contemporary of the Ramban, also living in Spain. And the Ramban has an Agadita in Masechta Chulin, which refers to Kshafim, to sorcerers. And the Gemara seems to imply that there was one witch, one sorcerer, a female sorcerer, who tried to whammy Reb Chanina, one of the great Tanoim. And he responded to her that he's not influenced by her Kisha, by her sorcery. Why he ain't old Milvado, there's only God. So the Gemara says, how can this be? The word Kshafim means Makhishim Pamalya Shalmala, that these powers of evil or of contamination can actually undermine the holy angels up in heaven. So the Gemara answers, Shani Reb Chanina de Nafish Skusa. Reb Chanina knew that he had great merits. And therefore the Kshafim and all their powers, these powers of sorcery, you know, that you see in the Walt Disney animated movies, if you know what I mean, all those powers can be subjugated by God. So the Rashba says, Pirish Pamalia, what does it mean, Pamalia? Chel Utsava, that there's a battalion, so to speak, of military, of soldiers, up in Shamayim. Upamalya kan romas litvarim, and this concept of Pamalya Shalmala, the angels up in heaven, is really an allusion to the natural order of the universe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world bekoach chukos hashamayim utzvam, with the regulations of all the constellations and the stars up in Shamayim. And therefore Chazal say, Ein lecha esav yesav lamata, there's not even a blade of grass down here on earth, she'ein lo, that doesn't have a mazel, some sort of an angel up in Shamayim, which is the angel of nature, she'omer lo gedel, that mandates the grass, the blade of grass to grow. She'nema yadata chuko Shamayim im tosim mishtar ba'aretz, if I'm not mistaken, it's a pasuk in Iyo. So therefore, when she, this Makshefa, turns to Rav Chanina, and she says, Shekoli ein od milvado ksuv, nidme lohem shesavur, she'ein yecholus bedover, l'shanos dover, l'fi she'ein od ela almasha sidur hu yisprach levado v'niach aleteva. In other words, when the question was raised, how could Rabbi Chanina be so sure of himself? You know, the idea was that there's no power that could somehow, what's the word I want to use, that could trump or detonate or neutralize the power of nature, because God created the powers of nature and he endowed them with the ability to carry out whatever they have to do. So the Gemara asks, Ha Amar Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shmam Kshafim Shma Kishim Pamali Shalmala, why are they called Kshafim? The meaning of the word Kishuv on a deeper level is that they can somehow change nature for evil. In other words, if not for their kishuv, then in the natural order of the universe, such and such would have happened, but they have a power to intervene, either for the good or for the bad, and therefore it's not going to happen based on coincidence, you know, based on various natural combinations of forces, but rather it's going to happen through the kishuv. So what was the response of Rabbi Chanina? That is true. Rabbi Chanina is not going to undermine what Rabbi Yochanan said about the power of Kishuv. That his nefesh, his soul, was constantly connected and clinging to God, and if he had such a power and a merit that would protect him, because anyone who's connected to God, Dovik Eino Nizo, will not be harmed by the Kishuv. She'ena Tachton Sholik Ba'elion, because Kishuv is something that's down in this earth, and it cannot control something that belongs to the higher worlds. And Rav Chanina says, I'm connected to those higher worlds. Vasi Rose Ponim Ehemvoyel Lechol. When will the people be subject to destruction? That's only ve'sirosi pona, when I will hide my face, meaning there'll be a distance. The amar hine ein Hashem el yireh, but God is very close to those who fear him. And the Torah says, tomim tiyam Hashem lokecha. V'alkein amru ein mazel b'Yisrael. In other words, we're above mazel in the sense that we can reach through our connection, our dveikus to God, we can reach the level of an Elyon, and therefore none of the natural orders and forces of the universe which are tachton, which belong to this world, can impede and can destroy us. That tovim tiyam Hashem lekecha means that we have to understand and appreciate it, that if we have dveikus in the will of God, and therefore through that in God Himself, we can rise above the mazalos. And this is the remez when Chazal say that in Avraham Avinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed Avraham Avinu, you remember this, Tzevi Tzagnis, He placed him above the heavens, HaBeit Mishvayim Usfar HaKochavim, She'ein Omrim HaBeit El Levishim HaBit Milamal, that the word HaBeit here means that Avraham Avinu is placed on a higher level, from which he can see below the stars. Wow. So again, the Kishuv has within it, again, I don't know today, maybe today we've lost the power of Kishuv, but at the time of Chazal, there was a very definite power of Kishuv, and certainly Bilam embodied that, he personified that Kishuv, and it has the power to change things that would have happened naturally, based on the natural Bria as God created. The only way we can overcome the powers and the influence of the Kishuv is through Dveikus, through clinging to Hashem, because through clinging to Hashem, we go above the stars, above the mazalos. And that's what Rav Chanina was saying, Nafesh Zuchusi, I have great merits because I am Dovek in the midst of Hashem, and therefore, Ein Od Milvado. For me, there's nothing but God. and therefore there's no kishuv, there's no power that can impact me. You can do all the sorcery in the world against me, says Rabbi Chanina. I'm above that. I'm connected to God. I'm in the world of the Elyonim, of the higher world, and the Taftonim, where the kishuv works, has no impact. And in the balance of this essay, which we don't have time for, the Shalmei Nachum tries to prove that when we're talking about Klal Yisrael, there's a tremendous power in Klal Yisrael of being Dovek and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being protected, and therefore we have a divine promise that we will exist eternally. When it comes to the Yechid of individuals, they have to worry about the Mazolos, and if there's the Mazolos which are predicting bad things for them, then they have to dedicate and rededicate themselves to Torah Mitzvahs. But the entire purpose of Bilam's and the message of Bilam's prophecy is that Klal Yisrael are endowed with a special status of Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that puts them above the influence of nature and the Malach and the Kishuf and all those forces of contamination. Okay, then, so we'll stop here. We're about halfway through. If anyone has time to finish it up, I also have more photocopies for you. And in the meantime, I'll thank you for coming and wish you all a great,
thank you.
A great Shabbat.
Happy birthday, Rabbi.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. You know, when you say happy, it's a kind of bittersweet when you get to my age, you know. Because 3 years from now, I change my numbers, you know what I mean? Mishanim ki doen, you know. But today, 80 is young, so it's all relative. In a few hours on the Hebrew calendar, the English calendar, it's already a week ago, I became 67.
67?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a little younger than you, no?
That's right.
By what, a year?
10 years.
Go away, come on. You're trying to pull my leg over here.
No. I was born in 42, April
25th. 42, during the war, wow.
Yeah.
Shoot. Thank God you were located in the right part of the world.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you would have gone much further than 42.
Yeah, boy.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
I went to a cook to send me for my